With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we are once again continuing our coaches profile look at our football coaches in the region. And today it's Zach Lampkin's turn. He is the head coach at Ipswich High School. Coach, welcome back. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Coach, we start by asking our guests about their very earliest experience with football, either having a football in the living room, getting one for Christmas, or watching TV, whatever it might have been. What's your first thought of when you first saw football?
I mean, obviously I got into it a little bit earlier than, you know, my first core memory, but I remember watching the, I think it was 1996, Patriots-Green Bay Packers Super Bowl with my dad, and just sitting down in our basement, and it was the first real time that you know, I just fell in love with the sport. I had kind of played with my friends in the backyard and everything like that. But, yeah, I was 10 years old, and, you know, the Patriots, who had been awful my whole life, you know, we had season tickets, or we shared season tickets, so I got to go to 4 games a year at the old Schaefer Stadium, which was probably not the best place for a kid. But
no.
that Super Bowl where, you know, they actually made it and were actually decent that year was kind of what got me to fall in love with it.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that one. I started watching football when I was 10 with my dad. He was in the Army. We were in North Carolina, and the only thing we had available were the Washington Redskins at that time. So that was when I first got into it. So I get that idea of the family thing, and I remember that Super Bowl game very well too. And that's when, listen, your generation from that point on has been kind of spoiled with Boston championships.
Yeah, so that's what I always say too, because, you know, I see everything now, and we were so spoiled by the time I probably got to high school, because I would say even after that Super Bowl, there was a couple bad years after that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I remember the bad times, so I feel like I can kind of pretend like I'm not part of that generation, but yeah, pretty much from my early teen years until now, I've had a lot of luck being a Patriots and Red Sox and Bruins and Celtics fan.
Yeah, I would think all that success too has lent it to becoming more participatory for kids in the area. You know, they see that kind of success, and they see some of the classy guys that we've had, like Drew Bledsoe, and, you know, all the guys on the Patriots, the Bruins. So, what's your earliest experience, maybe in organized football? When did you start that?
So I got into organized football a little bit in Pop Warner, but I was actually primarily a soccer guy. I really enjoyed it. I was really, really good at it. And 1 year my team was just so bad that my coach put me in at net, and I had to play goalie to just kind of stop as many goals as possible. And I hated it at that point. So I started getting back into football, and, you know, a bunch of my friends were trying to get me to play. So, you know, signed up, and it was the first time I played tackle football, and I just, you know, took me a little while to get my feet under me a little bit, which is, you know, part of, I think, my success as a coach now, is it didn't come that easily to me. I was a really small kid. I mean, up until my sophomore year in high school, I think I was 5'5", and then, you know, I just went through a summer of having growing pains and came back my junior year, you know, 6 feet tall, walking around like a giraffe, and I didn't really have control of my body at all, so it wasn't really until my senior year of high school that I really hit my stride and started playing really, really good football and you know, being dominant in the Cape Ann League and everything like that. But yeah, it's a fun ride, and obviously I started off slow, stopped for a little while, and came back into it and realized it was just something I loved.
You know, I want to talk about the pedigree of the Cape Ann League in a minute, but, you know, you bring up a point about hating it at one point, and as a coach and as a teacher, I've always told the kids, you know, you want to play to win, you want to play competitively, but boy, if it's not fun in some way, shape, or form, try something else. And I know that you coaches, for the most part, you really promote multi-sport athletes.
Oh, yeah, 100%, especially with me being the baseball coach in Ipswich as well. I have a lot of kids on the baseball team that are one-sport athletes, and I'm always trying to convince them to come out, and even if it's not football, like, obviously I would love for everyone to play football because I want to see football just boom, but even if it's soccer, if it's track, if it's anything, just to keep them from going home after school and playing video games and doing nothing, it's huge. And then, you know, especially I just think playing multiple sports – and not being one sport specific just helps your overall athleticism.
What's a favorite memory of maybe your senior year at Masco?
Oh, being the first team ever to go to the Super Bowl at Masco.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just winning games, and even though we had a dominant defense and we had a really good record, it seemed like every game other than a couple games were just really close games. But honestly, I think one of my favorite parts was towards the end of the season. We, you know, not to, you know, be cocky or anything like that, but we knew we were going to beat North Andover on Thanksgiving. And we knew if Hamilton went and beat Wilmington, then we were going to have the three-way tie in the Cape, or we were going to have a two-way tie in the Cape Ann League, and we were going to end up being the team to go to the Super Bowl. So after our Triton game, after we had just beat Triton, I think it was 24-0, there was a couple parents that didn't come to the Triton game and went to the Hamilton and Wilmington game just to see how that played out. And one of them was on the phone, and we were all just outside the locker room listening on speakerphone to Ian Burgess's dad just announce the game to us. And then this kid, Ryan Herrick, who actually won the Cape Ann League MVP over me, which I was pretty upset about. You know, he brought back a kickoff late in the game that got Hamilton on the win, and we just went nuts because mm-hmm. we knew all we had to do was beat North Andover, and we were in the Super Bowl, or at least in the playoffs. We knew we had a tough game against Duxbury coming up, but, you know, that, and then, you know, beating Duxbury, even though everyone in the state, every sports writer in the state had Duxbury to win easily.
Yep.
We took probably the coldest night of football except for Thanksgiving a few years ago when it was freezing, and we beat Duxbury 7-0 to go to the Super Bowl.
You know, we didn't start broadcasting until 05, and so and we didn't start following the Cape Ann League very much back then. We stayed kind of close to home as we grew. Tell me about your personal accomplishments that year. I didn't realize that, and where you played, the position you played, and maybe some of the successes you had.
So I was a wide receiver and a safety. I punted. I returned kicks, returned punts. I actually got all the single season receiving records, which my dad reminds me every year when they hold up. I think I had like 48 catches for like 1,000 yards and like, you know, 12 or 13 touchdowns or something like that. You know, I had a good quarterback. We were in a good system. Coach Pugh knew how to use me. You know, it was fun. I think defensively, I think I had like 8 interceptions. I'm pretty sure I had more interceptions than I had tackles, to be honest. Just because I think we had like 6 shutouts that year. Our defensive front was just stout, mm-hmm. and there was not a whole lot of people getting in the secondary to where I was, and I just kind of roamed around and just made sure we didn't let up any touchdowns.
Well, and
it was a fun year.
That's amazing, and we met Coach Pugh early on. He was very good to us, he is one of the nicest men I've ever met off the field, and even on the field, I mean, he can get heated, but he just always so positive and effusive in his working with kids. What did you learn from Coach Pugh as a player?
Just how to be patient and let things happen the way they're supposed to happen. Trust the game plan. I know sometimes as a player you want. I mean, for me, I wouldn't say I was selfish, but I always wanted the ball, and, you know, we always obviously wanted to win, but, you know, kind of after high school, looking back, like, you know, just trust the process, trust your coaching staff, know that everything we're doing is for a reason, you know, just be patient, especially with development, like me going from my junior year to my senior year. My junior year, I was a tight end because I don't think they quite knew how fast I was because I was kind of under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
I was a tight end and an outside linebacker. And then, you know, during 7-on-7s and summer workouts going into my senior year, he was just like, listen, you're going to play wide receiver and I think you're going to dominate. And, you know, I did. And for me, I could have been really down on myself. I barely played offense my junior year of high school at tight end. I think I had one catch for like 12 yards. So to go from that to what happened my senior year, it was just a huge eye-opening experience. Like if I had quit, I would have never gone through that. I probably wouldn't be where I am mm-hmm. right now. It's just, you know, it's something that I've obviously I've thanked Coach Pugh before, but I'm indebted to that man.
You've always with experience, you've had success in baseball as well. And the story you're telling, coach, I think it must be part of your makeup as a coach now, because you can look at kids who are on the top. They're the best. They've gotten there, and they're probably your senior leaders or at least upperclassmen. And then you see the other kids just trying to get their feet wet and trying to stay on their feet, actually. So having the experience that you went through, does that help you relate to the whole spectrum of ability on a team?
Yeah, 100%. Because it not only for talent evaluation in general, but just knowing kind of how to take the same steps with certain players that were taken with me and some of my other teammates at Masco, and just really learning individuals rather than just looking at the team and being like, this is the depth chart, this is what we're doing, like this person's going to be here at this point. Like, you have to kind of adjust to all of that as someone's playing out. And then it's the same thing when a player's down or something like that, you kind of not reevaluate, but just kind of let them know, stick with it.
Yep.
Everything's going to be good. Like, your time will come, especially in a town like Ipswich.
Yeah.
I mean, our numbers aren't booming, but, we're pretty good right now. We have a really young roster, and there's a lot of kids that are going to be very, very good football players for us. And we're definitely excited about that.
All right, I want to get back to coaching in a minute, but tell me about your college experience.
So I actually... because of the senior year I had, it almost made me reevaluate kind of where I was going, just because I played for Coach Peter Delaney in high school for baseball. I was always getting recruited for baseball. It's always something I knew I was going to do. I was getting recruited, and, I was going to go to college and play baseball. He told me that was the best bet for me, and then probably, like, toward the end of my senior year after the football season, he's like, hey, listen, like, there's a lot of schools talking about you right now. Like, you should maybe reevaluate, blah, 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 blah. So, I started kind of thinking about playing college football, but ultimately, baseball was definitely the sport that I wanted to play in college. It was the sport that I thought I was the best at. So I ended up going to Eastern Connecticut to play baseball. They were just defending their national championship. I think my freshman year there, we went 46-4 or something like that. It was just a juggernaut baseball school. And when they reached out to me, it was just kind of a no-brainer that I would go there.
Wow. Okay. What was your position in baseball?
I was a catcher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I caught in high school. Coach Delaney told me to, start kind of getting prepared to play outfield in college, because he thought I kind of projected as an outfielder just with my speed and athleticism and everything like that. I always loved catching because I could control the game. I mean, it's very similar to coaching now, and it's similar to coaching, in baseball and in football. It's just, if you can control the game, then that's where I want to be. Mm-hmm. So I went to college as an outfielder, actually made the team as an outfielder, and their like big catching recruit kind of went down with an injury in the preseason, so I had to fill in and catch a little bit just because he knew I had done it in high school. And after that practice, he called me up to the press box where I thought he was gonna cut me because I thought I did terrible because I hadn't caught since high school. And he basically just told me he loves the way I catch, and I was going to be a catcher from now on.
Oh, great story. Great. Yeah, I know that feeling of when you get called to the principal's office.
Yeah, I mean, he got on the loud comm, and he's just like, Lamp can come up.
Oh, jeez.
And it was like just around cut time.
Oh, goodness. Okay, let's get into coaching now. How did you start? Where'd you start coaching? I know you work with Coach Fassett at Ipswich. And was that your first coaching job?
Yeah, so I helped out with some summer stuff with Coach Pugh, a decade ago. But nothing too crazy, just here and there, just helping out, just kind of learning. I knew I kind of wanted to get into coaching. It was something I was kind of interested with. And then when I moved to Ipswich, I live like very close to the high school where I could hear the game. So I would kind of walk down there on Friday nights, back in like 2014. And then I just accidentally, through a friend, just kind of ran into Fassett, and he asked me if I wanted to come. He had a spot on the coaching staff, and then I just, I sat under him and just learned everything I could about all sides of the ball, not just, when I first started coaching, I was really just an offensive-minded guy, and that's all I wanted to do. But, he got me on the special teams, defense, everything, and I just tried to be around him as much as possible.
Well, he... he's a multi-sport coach too, as I'm sure you know. And when you guys get together now, or maybe talk to each other, or even back then, do you talk sports across the spectrum? Because sometimes, you know, it's just a popular thing. Like when you're having a cup of coffee, let's just talk sports.
To be honest, outside of football, obviously, I mean, football consumed all of our time. He lives football, breathes football, eats football. So when we were in it, it was all football. But outside of football, we actually talked about baseball more than anything. He has this weird love for baseball that not a lot of people know about, because it's a sport that he never really played or coached, but he loved talking baseball with me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. All right, so I've got something on him when I talk to him this winter. But I won't say where I got it. Oh, my goodness. All right, before we move on a little bit further and bring this thing to a conclusion, can you give me a few either high school or college friends' names that you get together with now and then? I mean, most coaches I know, they're able to remain in communication, whether it's through a reunion or just in the neighborhood thing, and they always bring up a memory of a game they were in or something that happened. Do you have that ability with, you know, living in Ipswich but having coached at Masco?
Yeah, so there's actually, I mean, not to name names, there's actually a lot of people from Ipswich that I've met over the years that have been like, oh, you played for Masco in 03, right? And I was just like, yeah. They're just like, oh, man. And they would start bringing up stuff. And, you know, as far as, like, the kids that I graduated with, most of those kids, like, moved across the country. We still stay in touch, and we still kind of reminisce. Like, my counterpart, the other wide receiver on my team, Mike Garrity, who had a phenomenal season his senior year as well. You know, we talk shop about how, you know, we think we could have done a little more. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff. But there's a lot of kids that are a couple years younger that were like freshmen and sophomore when I played that, you know, still were just like, oh, do you remember when you did this or you did that? And I was like, yeah, I do. Of course I remember it. But, you know, I'm kind of modest when I try to talk about it. So,
okay, well, I tell you, there's one thing about being at the top in any sport. You have to have a healthy ego, and I as a coach and a teacher, you've got to have that. All right, let me ask you a couple more questions. Your first encounter with Coach Pugh when he was now at Hamilton Wenham and you're now at Ipswich, what was that like?
Oh, it was kind of a dream come true, because I had every single year since I was a kid, I'd gone to Thanksgiving Masco versus North Andover, so I'd seen him, and then when I played for him, I saw him, and then after I graduated high school, I came back with my dad and I saw him. So then it was going to be the first year that I actually didn't see him, because it was the first year that he was coaching in Hamilton, and I ended up, you know, joining the Ipswich coaching staff, so I was still able to see him. It was pretty wild.
I can imagine. Okay, so now, what has gotten easier for you since you have become head coach? In other words, as an assistant, you're learning as much as you can, as you pointed out, and then you take over as head coach, and things are different, especially, I'm sure, organization-wise that first year. What's gotten easier for you?
Trusting my assistants. Delegating, letting people be who they are instead of trying to lump people, players in particular, into certain areas that I want them to be, just kind of letting things flow the way it should flow and just kind of not micromanaging everything.
Mm-hmm. All right, and finally, Zach, this is the week. It begins in the day after tomorrow as we record this on Wednesday. And what's on your mind this very morning about your team?
I am excited about our season. I know that we're young. I only have like three seniors and two or three juniors on the team, so I'm going to be very sophomore heavy, but those sophomores are extremely talented. They've been doing a great job for us as freshmen last year, and I know they've been working hard this summer, so it's just I'm over the moon excited, and I'm going to make sure that we work as hard as we can to be competitive as possible. But we just have a great group of kids, and I'm super excited to start working with them.
What time do the kids come in on Friday?
We're going to be in there getting the kids that haven't gotten any equipment yet. We're going to be getting equipment at 2 p.m., and we'll be full board at 3 o'clock.
Zach, thanks for taking the time to help us know you a little bit better. It's great to hear the enthusiasm and excitement in your voice. We can't wait to get started. And I'll be checking in with you, of course, from time to time during the season.
I can't wait. I'm excited, and I'm going to be excited to talk to you when we're having some success.
Fantastic. Best of luck, Zach, and thank you so much for taking the time today. Appreciate it.
All right, I appreciate you.
Take care. That is Zach Lampkin, who is the Ipswich High School football coach. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.